This is Fresh Air. The new movie, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, which opens Friday, is Marvel's first movie to feature an Asian superhero. The film stars the Chinese-Canadian actor Simu Liu as the young kung fu master Shang-Chi. Our film critic Justin Chang has this review.
The best moments in Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings are the ones where you almost forget you're watching a Marvel movie. Some of the hallmarks are still there. The deft comic banter, the high-flying action, the passing references to other characters and events in the Marvel Universe. But the movie doesn't get bogged down in series minutiae. It takes place sometime after the last two Avengers movies. You know, when half the world was wiped out and then brought back, and several fan favorites said goodbye. But you don't need to know or care about any of that to enjoy this mostly standalone story, which brings us into new dramatic terrain. New cultural terrain, too. Nearly 50 years after the character of Shang-Chi made his comic book debut during the 70s martial arts craze, he's now the first Asian superhero to get the full Marvel movie treatment. When we first meet Shang-Chi, played by Simu Liu from TV's Kim's Convenience, he's a young man calling himself Sean and living a pretty ordinary life in San Francisco. But one day, he and his slackerish friend Katie, an amusing Awkwafina, are violently ambushed on a bus, and Sean fends off their attackers with a dazzling array of martial arts moves. Turns out there's a lot he hasn't told Katie, like the fact that he's a kung fu master who's been hiding for years from his father, a very evil, very powerful, centuries-old Chinese warlord named Wen Wu. Now his father has found him and sent his goons after him. Determined to figure out why, Sean flies to Macau to meet up with his estranged sister, Jia Ling. Katie tags along, and on the way, he fills her in on some important details.
I should also probably mention that my name's not technically Sean.
What? What is it?
It's Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi?
Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi.
Shang.
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 S-H-A-N-G. Shang.
Shang?
Yeah.
You change your name from Shang to Sean?
Yeah, I don't...
I wonder how your father found
okay,
you.
I was 15 years old, all right?
What is your name change logic? You going into hiding, okay. And your name is Michael? You go on change it to Michael.
That's not what happened.
It's like, hi, my name's Gina. I'm going to go into hiding. My new name's Gina.
In Macau, the movie becomes a full-blown dysfunctional family drama with darkly funny overtones. At times I felt like I was watching a comedy about the all-too-relatable tensions between a traditional Chinese parent and his wayward, westernized offspring, the one in which, of course, the fate of the world hangs in the balance. The siblings have to put their own issues aside and unite against their diabolical father, who derives his power from the Ten Rings of the title, metal armbands that have made him immortal and almost invincible. Wen Wu is the latest version of a notorious Marvel supervillain called the Mandarin, who was introduced in the 60s as a mustache-twirling Fu Manchu stereotype. But the filmmakers have smartly redefined the character, who's played, in an inspired piece of casting, by the Hong Kong screen legend Tony Leung. You might know Leung from his work in Wong Kar-wai's magnificent romantic dramas, like In the Mood for Love. Here, he gives us a more extreme vision of obsessive desire. Years ago, Wen Wu tragically lost his wife, Shang-Chi and Jia Ling's mother. Now he's hell-bent on bringing her back, with a scheme that could have devastating consequences for all humanity. All this family angst gives Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings unusual emotional intensity for a superhero movie. Jia Ling, nicely played by Meng Er Zhang, resents her father for neglecting her as a child, which makes it all the more unfortunate that the movie somewhat sidelines her too. As for Shang-Chi, he has a complicated, vaguely Oedipal rivalry with his father, who turned him into the fighting machine he is and subjected him to all manner of cruel manipulation and abuse. Simu Liu is an appealing lead, though he doesn't always fully convey the depths of his character's trauma. He's better in the lighter, funnier scenes with Awkwafina, and having worked as a stunt performer, he's terrific in the movie's extended fight sequences. They're a big improvement on the blandly staged, drably lit scenes that typically pass for action in Marvel movies. The director and co-writer, Destin Daniel Cretton, may not be the second coming of John Woo, but he's done a fine job of absorbing any number of Asian action influences, from the slapstick fisticuffs of Jackie Chan to the balletic grace of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Speaking of Crouching Tiger, it's delightful to see the great Michelle Yeoh turn up late in the show as a benevolent mentor to Shang-Chi. She prepares him for an epic showdown with his father that feels a bit like this series' past epic showdowns, full of apocalyptic stakes, bloodless casualties, and visual effects overkill. But the finale also has a depth of feeling that sets it apart and leaves you wanting to linger in this particular world a while longer before the next Marvel movie comes along.
Justin Chang is film critic for the LA Times. He reviewed Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. It opens in theaters Friday and will begin streaming on Disney Plus in October. Tomorrow on Fresh Air, we'll continue our Summer of Soul series, featuring interviews from our archive with some of the musicians featured in the film Summer of Soul, which documents the 1969 Harlem Cultural Festival. Tomorrow, we'll hear from B.B. King and the late South African trumpeter Hugh Masekela. I hope you'll join us.